This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Thanos is dying. Mutants are dying. Moon Knight has gone nuts. And the Guardians of the Galaxy are dismembered. The Marvel Universe is in disarray. And we're going to talk about all of it today on the Ultimate Marvel Podcast.
You're the sweater man.
No, I'm not. I'm not. This is just costume. This is from the ceiling.
You guys are losers.
Nick and Martin infiltration is over.
It is over.
We kicked them out.
Yeah, we found the scrolls.
I'm Jack. Ronnie's here.
I'm here.
You guys are losers.
Did you get a chance to listen to them?
I did.
How'd they do?
I thought it was their passion comes across pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, from way back. You know, like when they first started reading to, and then how it kind of faltered and went away, and now like coming back. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, if they would have had that conversation like 6 months ago, it would have been all negative.
Yeah, right. Yeah, or positive because of the 80s and
yeah,
you know,
depending on what they talked about, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
But Martin's all into IVX. Which was kind of cool to hear.
And Clone Conspiracy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was a little surprised because I thought Inhumans vs. X-Men was good, but it didn't stand out to me. I mean, it stood out, but it wasn't like, okay, this is the best thing I've read by Marvel this year or anything like that. So,
do you think Civil War II stood up? Because to me, like, Death of X was a better event than Civil War II. Not saying that Civil War II, I think, is bad per se, but
I thought Civil War dragged at parts, but I can't say I liked Death of X really all that much more. So I thought Civil War was solid. I know, like, I mean, I've heard a lot of people be pretty negative about it, but I enjoyed it.
No, I enjoyed it. I was just saying. Personal preference, which one did you like more, or
I think
were they both on the same level?
I think if the timing was a little bit better with Civil War,
mm-hmm.
and maybe the price tag wasn't so high, then I would probably definitely say Civil War.
Right.
I mean, I thought the art, it was a good looking book. I enjoyed looking at it. I enjoyed the story. I mean, it wasn't like mind blowing or anything. It didn't, it's not something. I mean, you know, in a few years, if we're talking about great Marvel events, it's probably not going to be something I bring up. But
right.
It was by no means disappointing for me. I thought it was a solid story.
Yeah, I think the only two things that I had issues with, like you said, was like the delays that it had coming out.
Yeah,
and then it was a good story. But I don't think it was as impactful or emotional as, like, the first Civil War was.
No, definitely.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but...
And yeah, it was by no means as significant or as, I guess, it didn't leave nearly as much of an impression as, say, like, even the second Secret Wars.
Right, right.
The main story, at least.
The ramifications.
Oh, yeah, they were huge with that.
Right.
Either still felt now Secret Wars is.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Whereas Civil War II, I mean, aside from Tony Stark being kind of MIA and some dead characters, it's pretty much done with.
Yeah, right. And the possible futures that it had on the last page.
Yeah. Yeah, but I thought they did a good job, man. It was fun to listen to them.
Yeah.
Is there any news?
Oh, there is kind of I do want to break this news for our podcast. We have a reader, Mark Sparkman.
Yep.
And then a couple of a reader, a listener. Listen to me. He also reads
this transcript.
Marvel. Yeah, yeah.
Of the podcast.
Oh, he's gonna donate. Some Marvel trade paperbacks to the podcast to give away to listeners. And I was thinking, you know, if if you listen to us and you like us, leave us some iTunes reviews or follow us on the Twitter machine.
Yeah. So if you want a free trade, follow us on Twitter.
At Ultimate Marvel Pod.
Or leave us an iTunes review. That always helps.
Yep.
I caught wind of a Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff, and I jotted this down as something to talk about in the podcast, and then like we didn't record for a long time, and now it's already come out, so it's not really news anymore. It's sort of past news, but ABC, on ABC streaming, they released a S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff. I don't know if you saw it. It's called Slingshot.
Yeah.
Did you get to watch it?
I didn't get to watch it yet, but I did see that it was out and a thing.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the first episode, and they're short mini episodes, so you can watch them the whole season pretty fast. It looked just like another episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. really, but it centers around Elena Rodriguez, she's the speedster Inhuman.
Right. Yeah.
So that's one bit of news. Anything else?
I was trying to think. I saw that. There was a couple things, and then I closed out of it. But there's Black Panther movie news. I did see that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What about?
Let me pull this up. I know great podcasting and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Let me
clearly we don't do any homework. While you're looking it up, also that reminds me there's a new Spider-Man trailer came out a couple weeks ago, about a week or so ago.
Uh-huh.
That kind of shed some, kind of had a little bit of a hint into I think the timeline of the story, because did you see the new trailer?
Yeah, I did.
The one where Tony Stark meets him, he's in his limo, and anyways, Tony Stark has a black eye in it, which he had at the end of Civil War, implying that Spider-Man, this Homecoming story, will, I guess, literally take place in the aftermath of Civil War.
Right. Within a couple days or a week or so, I would say.
Right.
Not too far off if he's still supporting a shiner.
Right. not huge news, but interesting. And the trailer was really cool.
Yeah, I liked the trailer. And I know that there was some Twitter machine feedback on Peter's best friend there.
Right.
Like he does look like Genki from the Miles Morales series.
Yeah, he does.
But it's supposed to be Ned Leeds, so.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting on where they'll go with that. If they kind of like.
Especially since a lot of people wanted Miles, the movie, to be Miles Morales.
Right, yeah. So it might be like the happy marriage of the mixing of the two. Because Ned grows up to be a hobgoblin, so. You know?
Yeah.
But the Black Panther news was Sterling Brown joined the cast for a role in Black Panther's past. Huh. So I think it's N'Jobu. I think that's how you pronounce it, the character's name.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty big. Well, it's not like a really like big actor, but he's been in some pretty good things. He's a veteran of the stage and screen.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what he's in.
He's in the current TV show, This Is Us.
I don't watch that.
And then he was in The People vs. O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story.
He's been in a lot of television.
Yeah.
I haven't watched any of these shows. That's why I don't remember what he's been in. I'm looking at the list now. Just pulled it up. I don't think I've watched a single TV show he's been in.
Really?
Man.
I only see This Is Us because the wife watches it. But
yeah. Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
Anything else that you know of?
No news.
Yeah, no news.
I wanted to talk about some new books, and I think you wanted to get into Moon Knight a little bit.
Yeah.
You got a preference? Which one you want to do first?
Go for the new stuff, as far as me.
We already talked about Inhumans vs. X-Men, so, and Martin went into super depth. He walked right through like the entire number one issue.
Yeah.
A matter of fact, I think it would have took longer to listen to him go through the issue than it did to read it.
Yeah. Well,
so
yeah.
I'm not going to harp on it again. But I do think, I thought it was off to a great start. I think you said you did also. I am curious though, and I don't want to go into a lot of depth, but I'm really curious what's going to happen with the Terrigen Cloud now, because they're talking about destroying it. Mm-hmm. And we know they're not going to destroy all the Terrigen, because they're not going to just end the Inhumans. That's not where Marvel's going. But they have to find some way to contain it. I'm curious. What do you think is going to happen? You think there's more Terrigen somewhere? They could story up some Terrigen somewhere or find a way to contain it.
Right.
Or maybe make it synthetically or something.
Yeah. I would say that this event's going to wrap up the crisis part of it. Not saying that the mutants herd won't slim down that much, like every X event does, you know, since House of M.
Yeah.
But I see the Inhumans going back to outer space.
Really?
Or at least like hovering around, like having a hover city. So it's not like on Earth again.
Yeah. Huh. I hadn't thought about that. Do you have a tip, or is that just something you came up with?
It's just something that I came up, or, you know, thinking about what would work and what wouldn't work and making both camps happy.
Yeah, because they're ramping up their X-Men stories.
Right. Because we know that they're coming in full fold with the whole new in-house line of Resurrection.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, that would be cool if they could do the mutant thing on Earth and then maybe have a little bit of Inhuman storyline, more of cosmic sort of related, maybe.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
I could see that making for...
Well, I mean, that's the only thing that I can think of that would make Inhuman fans happy and X-Men fans happy, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're not going to totally get rid of mutants, and they're totally not going to get rid of Inhumans.
Right.
You know, because they both have been invested a lot here lately.
Yeah.
So.
And they're a little bit redundant to have multiple titles of both happening
right
in the same space.
Right, right.
Yeah. And speaking of Marvel cosmic characters, sort of out of place, did you read any of the Guardian of the Galaxy books, the new ones?
I did.
Yeah, I really want to talk about these because I read Star-Lord, Gamora, Rocket. It was just those three, right? Did I miss one? There wasn't one for Drax, was there?
No, because Drax still has his ongoing, right?
Okay, right. Which I haven't been reading, so. I loved the mid-2000 Guardian of the Galaxy run, but since then, I just haven't been able to get into them at all.
Yep.
And so I wasn't really looking forward to this at all, but I read them because they're new Marvel issues.
Yeah.
And I was surprised. I enjoyed all three of them way more than... Maybe it was because my expectations were low. But
right.
I wasn't crazy about the idea of splitting up the team in the first place.
Right.
Because it felt like they're getting the Fantastic Four treatment, which I don't think is... I haven't really enjoyed so far. I haven't enjoyed the Fantastic Four being separated doing weird things that I still can't get used to them being in the position doing.
Right.
But I thought the solo Guardians of the Galaxy books turned out really well, at least for one issue. What did you think?
I'm kind of like you. Like, my favorite Guardian stuff is the Annihilation stuff, which I know we've talked about quite a bit on here. Yeah. Like, I would put Annihilation as probably my favorite Marvel event.
Annihilation or Conquest?
Oh, kind of both, really.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's kind of, you know, the tie-in type thing. Like, that whole series, I think, I would put as, like, my favorite Marvel thing or Marvel event. So
I reread Annihilation, by the way, since we last talked. Not the first six books.
It still holds up.
You know what I had forgotten about? The story's great. But what I had forgotten about is I also read the... Do you remember the Nova tie-in?
Oh, do I?
I thought that was better than the... I mean, I had sort of forgot about it, but it was great. I thought that was better than the main story.
Yeah, that was when I re-fell in love with Richard Rider.
Yeah.
But, like, that whole thing, all those characters right there were portrayed amazingly, I think. And then, like you said, going into these three books, it was like, and then, like, the past couple books that they've tried to do, you know, it's kind of, like, toned down the seriousness of them.
Right.
But I really enjoyed the Gamora and Star-Lord. I mean, it wasn't like... I wouldn't put it, like, as a 5 out of 5 book.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was enjoyable.
Yeah.
It was kind of one of those fun read type things where there isn't that much meat and potatoes in it, and, you know, it is what it is type of thing.
Yeah. Now, I felt that way. So, now, what about... So, you liked Rocket the least?
Actually, I didn't get to read Rocket, so I can't really comment on that.
Okay. Because I really enjoyed Rocket. I mean, it's not something I would typically read, but I enjoyed it. I think it had that sort of. Well, first of all, and I don't want to spoil too much of it.
Right.
But Rocket and Star-Lord were both kind of the same sort of story. Like, they're both stuck on Earth, reluctantly, you know, kind of moping around, trying to fit in.
Right.
It's really the same concept for both, except I thought the Rocket, that spin worked a little bit better with Rocket's character.
Huh.
Even the, like, I wish you would have read it, because, like, the first page of Rocket, like, totally hooked me. Like, just that one page alone, it's funny because Rocket's walking around Manhattan, or he's actually in Times Square, and people are everywhere, and, like, everybody he encounters, it's sort of like this culture shock, because it's like one guy looks at him, he's like, "Hey, look, I think it's Squirrel Girl." And he walks into somewhere else, and there's some, like, teenage girls, and they're like, "Hey, look, is that hedgehog going in there? That's freaking gross." And he's just moping around Manhattan like, "I hate everything about this culture." Until he sees like this sign for like a nudie bar, and he's like, "Ah, maybe not quite everything." And that's just the first page. It was really cool.
I plan on reading it. I just hadn't gotten to it yet with the crazy work schedule and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was kind of even though I'm not super crazy about Rocket Raccoon as a solo title, Matthew Rosenberg.
Mm-hmm.
I was sort of interested to see what he could do. And by the way, like, he has a new Kingpin title. I don't know if you've heard about that, but coming out in February.
Yeah, I have.
And I was actually eyeing that a little bit more than this, because that's more sort of the thing I'd be into.
Right.
But I really like the stuff that he's done for Black Mask. Have you read those books? Four kids walk into a bank and go home?
Yeah. Yep, yep.
Those were, in my opinion, like incredible titles.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, like potentially top five titles if their release schedules weren't so ridiculous.
Right.
They've come out so sparsely that I mean, it just kind of puts me off. But aside from that, I loved what he was doing. So I'm wondering if he could sort of be that Marvel newbie, you know, to kind of keep
that
an eye on.
That sparks things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's really done anything for Marvel or nothing significant, right?
Right, yeah. I don't believe so.
Yeah. And so Rocket was like, it's a real fun read, kind of lighthearted, like Star-Lord was. Mm-hmm. Now, Kingpin has to be a much darker story, I would imagine. So
I hope so.
Yeah. And so I'm curious if he can handle that, but hopefully we have a new Marvel talent emerging.
Yeah. That'd be great.
And then Gamora, I think, was my favorite. You did read that one, you said, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I read it.
That was kind of like her, in a way, sort of like an origin story for her.
Yeah, it was. Like a retelling of where she's at now and where she's been and what makes her her, basically.
Yeah.
And Nebula, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
It kind of adds that extra layer to her character.
Right. Which, and I mean, she's totally in a different space here than, like, Star-Lord and Rocket are.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's a completely different story. It's kind of ironic, though. They have, as you mentioned, Nebula's in it, and it's sort of like a story about Thanos raising the two of them and sort of them feuding over who he prefers, which he always seems to favor Gamora.
Mm-hmm.
And Nebula's really jealous of that, and that causes all type of controversy. But, you know, it's Thanos, so it's not like he, you know, he just favors her because she has more potential. He can see
right.
that.
Right.
But it was really cool, and they have this family ties theme going on in all the Thanos-related books, it seems like.
Yeah, and that's... I'm happy that it's back, really. That Thanos, or the cosmic part of the universe, is actually trying to hit again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Because we got that, and then Nova relaunched a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, number two came out this past comic book day.
Yeah.
Which brought back Richard Rider. So.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to read that, or did you read that?
I did read it. I wasn't quite as crazy about it as these books. What did you think?
Right.
I mean, I thought it was a little bit forgettable, personally. I enjoyed it. It wasn't a bad read, but it was sort of like, eh.
Yeah, that's... It had... Number one had less Richard in it than I wanted. But I guess, you know, I'm that old man, get off my lawn guy. Because I want my old heroes back, or even my old villains, instead of everybody being 12 or 15. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, y'all were talking about that on Slack.
Yeah.
It's the Ronnie verse Garrett feud.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because he likes all these new characters, and he's Garrett is this guy on for everybody listening, it's this guy on we have a Slack channel with a bunch of comic fans that we're always talking about various stuff, and Garrett's younger than the rest of us. What is he, in his 20s, I guess?
Yeah, yep.
And he always favors these new characters. He likes Miles. He likes, you know,
Marvel.
Yeah, and what's the girl? The brain of the, like, they replaced Reed Richards as the smartest person in the Marvel universe with her. Oh, Moon Girl.
Moon Girl. Yeah.
He loves her. Riri.
Yeah.
And then us old people are like, ah, that's not Iron Man.
Yeah. Our debates sometimes go back and forth, and sometimes I push that button just to push the button for him, you know?
Yeah.
Just to spark up a debate.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. With I'm more going like on a tangent, which is fine, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it with Spider-Man, with Miles.
Yeah.
Because I see Spider-Man as being always seen him as being a kid. Mm-hmm. And now that Peter Parker sort of like almost Tony Stark like in right. order, and he's having a family, and he's got, you know, runs a huge corporation. I don't know. That doesn't feel right to me. Miles feels more like classic Spider-Man to me at this point.
Well, it's just the progression part, I guess. You know, like in that situation, it feels natural to have both.
Right.
To me, you know what I'm saying? Because us old cranky people still have our Peter Parker doing Peter Parker things, only on a kind of adult level.
Yeah.
And then on the same way, like, I think we were texting, like, with Miles, like, I got caught up on the Spider-Man part of it. And that was one thing that I loved about Civil War II. And then getting caught up on the Spider-Man title was you got to see that from Miles' perspective that the main event didn't dive into.
Right.
And, I mean, some of it was, you know, stuff that you already read or whatever from the main title, but I think you needed that in case you didn't buy the main title.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And then there's other characters that, you know, it's just like, I get it, but like the new Nova.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just doesn't, he doesn't work for me. I'm not invested in his character, I guess.
Right.
Just, and that might be unfair to him because, you know, I am such a big fan of Richard Rider.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it might be that type of thing, but. I don't know. I posted that picture,
right.
Either on Slack or on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah, that was
from
funny.
It was a panel from the new Nova number 2.
Yeah, with Vision's daughter in there.
Yeah, and young Cyclops and Richard Rider and Sam.
Yeah, and who is it? Somebody saying, "I hate everything about what she said." And he asks who she is, and he's like, what, is every superhero like 12 now?
Yeah, right. Yeah, because it had Viv, which is the Vision's daughter. Because Sam just came back, or not Sam, Richard just came back into the Marvel U again.
Yeah.
And the second issue is tons better than the first issue, because it's more Richard-driven and like, obviously, he died in the cancerverse from Annihilation. So, like, when he comes back, everything's different, obviously. But the Annihilation is the last thing that he remembers.
Yeah.
And that was, like, a great, big, huge event. And people down here don't even know or remember that it existed, I guess, the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was like his thing. It was like, you know, I died and I came back. And what's it all for? Because now Tony and Carol are fighting again over what he thought was stupid reasons, you know.
Right.
And that was his words, you know. And then, like, nobody really remembers who he is because they're, like he said, 12 or 15, you know.
Right.
And so then him and Sam go off to nowhere.
Yeah.
And go to a bar. Go to the bar and see Cosmos, right? Isn't that the dog's name? The Russian dog?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then they go down the level and go to the bar, and then everybody remembers about Annihilation and whatnot.
Yeah, Cosmo.
Cosmo, yeah.
Space dog.
Yeah. Russian cosmonaut.
Yeah. And they try to do that ignorant kid thing in the Civil War movie also. Remember with Peter Parker trying to quote Star Wars like it was some new thing that people didn't know about?
Yeah.
I can't like not mention Thanos number two. Did you read it?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I like how it's progressing.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was a good. I thought the story developed well from number one. I can sort of see it developing into another one of those like deep, reflective character stories that Lemire is so good at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he loves to take like we've read this with Logan and Bloodshot. If you're a Valiant fan, like he loves to take these tough, really tough characters, tough guys, and completely break them down, like emotionally. And Bloodshot Reborn might have been the like best example of that. But I don't know, for people who haven't read Valiant, like what he did was he took their Valiant's flagship character and like completely, you know, broke him down so he could kind of build him back up and sort of made him a little bit more human than he had ever, seeming a little more human than he had ever come across previously. And I didn't think that was sort of possible with Thanos, because unlike what Lemire's done with Ray Garrison, like Thanos to me always seems sort of like a rock emotionally.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't get, he gets mad and he'll like take out his anger on people, but he's not like,
he doesn't wear like his emotion on his sleeve. Yeah, right, yeah.
Right. And he doesn't, like, lament or anything over the things he's done in the past. He doesn't sit back and reflect, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, how do you tear down a character like that? Well, how about putting him on his deathbed with an, like, incurable life-threatening disease?
Yeah.
So now he's completely vulnerable in the issue. And on top of that, you make it like a family affair. Thane is in it, which I was glad to see him back in the Marvel Universe.
Yep.
And his brother, Star Fox, was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then his dad, Mentor, who Thanos needs help from because he's dying, is in the story. And right now that's sort of the, you know, crux of it is Thanos is dying and everyone's sort of in a race against time. Thanos is trying to find a cure that right now doesn't seem to exist. And Thane and others are, you know, trying to take advantage of him while he's weak and kill him.
They're trying to speed up the dying process.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's interesting. I don't know. I mean, it's not something I would have thought Lemire would have, I expect to see out of a Thanos story, but at the same time, it's a little bit unlike anything else I'm reading, which is
it's
cool.
It's a fresh idea, really.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes it more enjoyable.
Right. Yeah, and having that, along with, you know, Gamora, Nebula, Thanos simultaneously, that's a nice little Thanos fix for me.
Yeah. Yeah, you're cosmic set for a little bit.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, man. The only other thing I was going to mention was Daredevil 15, but now that feels like it was forever.
Ages ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so last year.
It was.
There's two new books that I wanted to touch on that I surprisingly liked a lot, actually.
Okay.
And the first one is the new Hawkeye.
Okay.
Which is Kate Bishop-centric.
Yeah. I didn't read it. I should have read it.
Well, I won't spoil it that much, but like she goes...
Don't worry about it. Spoil away.
Well, she pretty much starts her own private investigation type thing while she's superheroing and trying to gather her life back. And it kind of has that Mockingbird-esque kind of feel to the book.
Oh, yeah?
Plus, like, the whole... with elements of the Lemire... Or not Lemire, but Fraction, like Hawkeye run. Yeah. So I thought it was really enjoyable. It's only two issues in, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
And then...
you know what? Did I read this? I don't remember, man. So many Marvel books.
Yeah. And the other one is a real, real must-read. It's my, I would say, recommendation... is Hulk number one.
Ah.
That centers around Jennifer Walters.
Okay, I haven't read that yet either, but I definitely intend to.
Because I've never been a She-Hulk fan, really.
Yeah.
I mean, she's cool, and I get her, and I understand, but it's not like, oh, She-Hulk's in this book, I gotta read it.
Yeah.
Type thing. And so, in this whole book... or at least the first issue, you know, it's her coming back from the events that happened in Civil War II with Bruce dying and her almost dying, and she's ready to go back to work. But it's like the meat and potatoes type stuff that I always talk about that I enjoy. It's not just one of those breeze over reads. It's like there's layers there. Because she doesn't want to turn into She-Hulk, because the last time she did, she died. So she's battling with that anxiety, and then with the anxiety of going back to work and trying to be normal again.
Now, I'm not super familiar with her character, but I thought she didn't transition into She-Hulk, that she was always...
She had more control over it. Like... If I'm not mistaken, like, she can stay in the Hulk-like state.
Okay. Despite her emotions.
Right, yeah. Because, like, there for a while, because she's a lawyer, a famous lawyer, and, like, that's why one of the law firms hired her, which I believe it's the same one that was in this number one issue. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But they hired her so she could be... She-Hulk,
yeah,
the lawyer, and like her first couple of days on the job back then, she came in as Jennifer and not She-Hulk, and they were like, "Oh, well, if you're not going to do that, then you're fired," type thing. So, but this issue number one, I was really blown away by, because I went into it with like really low expectations, and I was just going to read it just to read it, and then it could have been like one of my top five books of the week, I think.
Yeah, awesome.
And top five for me is like maybe top three or top two for everybody else, because, you know, I read everything. A million. So, yeah.
Comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm always reluctant to read, and I'm always reluctant to read a title that is sort of a duplication of a character. And, you know, Marvel does this all the time. So yeah. I wind up doing it anyways, but I'm always a little bit like, it's like, how many Hulks do you need? And do we need like a million different Spider-Men? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whenever they do that, I'm sort of like, why can't we just stick with, why can't there be one Hulk, one Spider-Man, you know?
Yeah.
Iron Man.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
Now we have two. Technically
three.
Yeah.
Which is, it's okay. I mean, I'm enjoying that storyline so far.
Right.
It's just, I don't know. I don't know why they constantly have to do that. Constantly have to have multiple variations of the same character.
They got to keep up with the status quo.
Yeah. With Thor, I thought it worked because she, you know, he became unworthy.
Thor,
and it was sort of like,
yes. I was just saying Thor worked because the storyline worked out organically like that.
Yeah, yeah. And the hammer chose her.
Right, yeah. As to where everything else feels like it's created because of something else.
Yeah, because, hey, we need a female version of this character, or a kid version, or a minority version, so let's...
Right.
We'll just have two now, or three, or four, or six.
Which I think that's why I like... I don't mind Miles, because, you know, at that time,
yeah,
it worked. Because, you know, in the Ultimate line, Peter died.
Right.
So Miles took over, you know. And now he's just mixed in with the Marvel U altogether.
Yeah.
But it was funny that you mentioned having multiple Hulks, because I just read U.S. Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Red Hulk in there.
Right.
Who apparently can only be Hulk for like an hour and a half or 2 hours out of the day. So, and this whole book is about CD listers,
yeah,
basically. Well, Garrett would argue with me because Squirrel Girl's in there, but but like you don't even get to see who all's there, and it's basically a number one, and it's
yeah,
setting up the initiative or whatever. So, but there's cool B, C, or C, B, D listers that we haven't seen for a while in there, and it's kind of cool to revisit some of them.
Yeah.
Like Citizen V is the one who's initiating it, and he is ahead of AIM. And he wants the world to know that AIM isn't bad like they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And right. So he's trying to get everybody together, at least the people that he can, to, and then like they're doing this like propaganda, like little interview segments,
right,
with the characters that sign up.
Yeah.
And there's a new Iron Patriot.
Yeah.
That's an Asian girl. And I was trying to think of Cannonball makes his return.
And I guess some of the Hulk stuff's going to, Ragnarok, right? Isn't the rumor that we might be seeing multiple Hulks in that movie?
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that.
So maybe this will start happening, crossing over into the cinematic universe too.
Yeah. Because that'd be, yeah. Then Thor 3 comes out in November, right?
Yeah.
Is that the next Marvel movie?
I think so.
Because that seems like a long way away for another Marvel movie. There's got to be one this summer.
I mean, Homecoming.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And Guardians of the Galaxy. Is that before Thor? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So those two.
So we're not really ramping up to Thor 3 trailers yet, really?
No.
Yeah.
I don't guess so. It's cool, man. So what else is going on? What about Moon Knight, man? I know he's going completely insane in Lemire's book, and like every time I read it, I feel like I'm on a bad acid trip, and I have no idea what's going on, to be honest. I don't even know what the storyline is. I just know it's insane, and there's multiple personalities, and I don't know what's real and what's not, and that wraps up an entire 10 issues of this title.
Yep. And this, we had a listener question, or not a question, but a request on the Twitter box from Ross asking if we can talk some Moon Knight. So that's where I was going to go with that.
Yeah, we just did.
Yeah, well, the Lemire run, for me, the Lemire run is probably... and it's awesome right now, but I think the Charlie Hudson and David Finch run in 2006-ish,
yeah,
that relaunch, I think that was my favorite Moon Knight run. And then all of our listeners are like tweet hating me right now because Warren Ellis did his
right
run. So, but yeah, I mean, that that run, you had you had that, and then Mike Benson took over with Mark Textiera. But Charlie Hudson was still co-piloting that one. Mm-hmm. And that was about the time when the actual first Civil War took place. So you got to see the fallout from that. And, man, it's just – it's always been – he's always, always been crazy and a complex character.
Right. Yeah.
And actually, I just seen – lots of tweets and comments and stuff that James Gunn is pushing for a Marvel Moon Knight movie.
Yeah, and I saw that, but I thought he was sort of saying, "I'd love to do that. I'm not sure I have time right now to propose it."
Yeah,
but it would definitely be something he'd love to do.
But for me, I would rather see a Moon Knight Netflix series.
Oh, definitely.
Instead of a movie.
Sure.
And I only say that because I think in the Netflix series, you know, we get, 8 to 13 hours to flush out the characters. And sometimes that might seem too many hours. Oh,
and you could definitely tie him in to the Defenders. I mean, not maybe as a Defender, but you could have a storyline where those intersect easily.
Yeah, definitely. And like...
he's more of that street-level character.
Well, there's already kind of like Easter egg in Daredevil from him in season 2.
Oh, yeah? What did I miss?
When Elektra kills the guy in the airport hangar. That was Frenchy.
Oh, right.
So,
interesting. Oh, that's right.
So I mean,
about that.
You know, the seeds are there, and I mean, we technically don't know if she killed him. I mean, that's what we were led to perceive, but and so then you can have crazy Mark Spector come and want revenge for her, and then you know Matt Murdock sticks up for Elektra.
Yeah,
I mean. If you want me to write a Netflix series, you know, just Marvel, give me a call.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing them do this Lemire storyline. You can make some crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in a movie or a TV show, this could be some crazy stuff to watch.
Yeah. And as crazy as it is, like, the last issue, well, technically 10, right? Because 11 came out this week.
Yeah.
10... everything kind of came together for once. Like, the pieces started hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because the whole time, he's just been multiple personalities, and you don't know what's real and what's not real and what's going on and what's not going on.
Well, now he's sort of coming into... he's sort of starting to understand that he's sick, right? Mm-hmm. And he's crazy, and that some of this stuff is not legit.
Like taking back his personalities, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that Warren Ellis run, I remember it being good.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they change writers?
Yeah, they changed like
and then it kind of went downhill.
Three or four writers. I don't know if it went downhill or not because they kind of kept the same format of the book.
Yeah.
But I think Brian Wood took over, and then Colin Bunn actually took over for the last couple of issues. And then there was a 2099 one-shot Moon Knight that came out in 98 that introduced the female version from Manifest Destiny 2099. She kind of looked like his version of him in the mask and the white suit, if I remember correctly. And then his, like, short run, or kind of like flashback Easter eggs of the Mark Millar, Old Man Logan.
Yeah.
He was in that for a couple of flashbacks where he assisted Daredevil and She-Hulk in fighting the Enchantress and Electro.
Yeah.
In that flashback. But.
Now, if they take Old Man Logan and turn him into a 15-year-old kid. then me and Garrett are going to have a feud.
Yeah, I wonder where all that's going. Because the rumors and innuendo have Lemire walking out the door.
Yeah, and so I had forgotten about that, but I guess I'm curious what you've heard. I've heard the same thing about Soul.
Yeah.
Now, is this just rumor, or is there something legit out there about it?
It's just, as far as I know right now, it's just rumor and innuendo for Soul. I believe Lemire's pretty much off after the summer, and like after Thanos miniseries ties up and whatnot. But
do they have I didn't know they had a number on the Thanos series.
I thought it was a mini, but I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. I could be wrong, but
I did see Charles Soule on Twitter talking about he wanted to focus more on doing independent titles.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if the whole rumor is just from that tweet, or if there's some inside voice that actually knows something.
No, it could be. And I mean, the Lemire thing could be from something else too, but
yeah. That would be a big hit if both of them did leave. I mean, those are arguably my two favorite writers for Marvel right now.
I agree. And it's like the big names leaving, really.
Yeah, definitely. Rosenberg needs to step up.
Yeah, somebody. Because, I mean, you can't put Jason and Aaron on more titles.
Right, or Bendis.
Or Bendis,
and
yeah.
And to be quite honest, I don't think many people are excited about a new Bendis title. He's written so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I like reading his stuff, but it's sort of like I don't get excited when there's another Bendis title.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's just before it was like, oh, there's a Bendis book. And now it's just like kind of nothing. It's just like, I don't want to say run of the mill because that means.
Well, it has kind of become that for him.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, when Bendis comes out with a new book, you know what you're getting. You know it's going to be good. It's not going to be bad. He's a great writer, but I mean, for me, I've read so much of him that I don't think he doesn't do anything that surprises me anymore.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was saying. It's not like something that wows me over. Yeah. It's just I know it's going to be good or decent, and it's just constant. You know.
So we'll see, man.
Yep.
You want to wrap this up, or you got anything else you need to spit out?
Nope, we can wrap her up.
Cool. Good episode.
Good episode. Good year. Hopefully a better year.
What's our Twitter handles?
Our Twitter handle is IamRonBar316, so you can tweet hate me. And you are Jack Sutherland.
It's good talking to you, man. Until next time.
Till next time.
You guys are losers.